The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read several verses from Paul's epistle to the saints at Philippi. That's Philippians, the epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Paul writes these words, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." There's one phrase I want to try to concentrate on this morning and this message. And that phrase here is given by Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Apprehended. Do you hear that? Apprehended of Christ Jesus. You see, the heart and soul of Christianity, that is, the heart and soul being the person and work of Jesus Christ, the heart and soul of Christianity is not a take-it-or-leave-it proposition. The message of Christ's person and work is not offered to fallen man's acceptance or man's rejection. And let me try to explain what I mean by that. There's a billboard near my home, and it reads something along this line. It says, one heading is "Time, your chance to reject God's love." The next heading is "Eternity, dealing with the consequences." The fallacy of such is that. Now think about it. Time, your chance to reject God's love. Eternity, dealing with the consequences. The fallacy of such is that fallen, Adamic humanity does not need a chance to reject God's love, because fallen, Adamic humanity is antagonistic to God's love by nature. This is what I am and you are by nature. It's what we are in Adam, in the condemnation of God against all humanity in Adam's fall. We don't need the chance to reject God's love. We are antagonistic to God's love by nature. We don't need opportunity for that. Adamic humanity, as I said, is antagonistic to God's love by nature. Man does not need the chance to reject God's love. God's love is found in Christ and in Christ only, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 39. And man by nature hates Christ. Now, I want to turn to this, and I want you to listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ said about us by nature, about humankind by nature. Look, listen to what he says that we are by nature. This is John chapter 3 and verses 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And who was that light he spoke about here? And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Of course, it's clear from the context of John 3 that Christ is speaking of himself. He's the light that came into the world. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and he also is the light. He's the light of the world, he said. And he said, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, now I want you to listen to these words. These are the words of Christ himself. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, myself and you by nature, our state, our condition, as we are born to our parents into this world under the judgment of God in the fall of Adam, we are antagonistic toward Jesus Christ from the beginning. We're born that way. We're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I want you to also hear the words of the Apostle Paul and listen to what he says in Romans chapter 3 concerning the whole human race, all of humanity, both Jew and Gentile. Now, just listen to what the Scripture, the inspired Word of God, says itself. This is Paul writing to the saints at Rome, and in Romans chapter 3, he states these words beginning in verse 9. What then? What then? This is Paul's conclusion to what he was just previously saying. Are we better than they? And the context is are the Jews better than the Gentiles? And this is Paul's words. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Do you see that? He did not say merely here that we've all sinned, but we're all under sin. We're under its bondage, under its slavishness. We're caught under it, trapped under it. They're all under sin. And listen, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That Paul is saying that includes all of us by nature. That's the way we all are, apart from the grace of God, apart from God Almighty apprehending me or apprehending you in Christ Jesus. Apart from God doing that, this is our state by nature. And he goes on to say, their throat, talking about us by nature, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So you see, fallen man, and that's me, and that's you by nature in Adam. That's how we are. That's how we're born. That's how we're conceived and brought forth into this world. Fallen man is not neutral. And then when hearing the gospel, then we accept or reject that gospel. There is no doubt that men reject the gospel, but we do this by nature. It's our bent. It's that insidious bent within each and every one of us is to reject all that appertains to God. This is what we are. You see, man's condition is so antagonistic. It is in such a state of enmity that Christ must apprehend a soul before any soul receives Christ. This is the very thing that the Apostle Paul is saying to the saints at Philippi. I was apprehended of Christ Jesus. The Apostle in my text for this morning. He says he was apprehended. Do you hear that word? Think about that word. Was apprehended of Christ Jesus. To apprehend means to seize, to possess, to lay hold of. And here's one we're probably familiar, to arrest, to apprehend, to arrest. Do not think of Saul of Tarsus, later known as Paul the Apostle. Do not think that Saul of Tarsus was offered Jesus to accept or reject Jesus Christ. Every true believer knows in his heart and in her heart and mind and soul that when God Almighty saved us, that God Almighty apprehended us. Our salvation has to do with being apprehended by God in Christ Jesus. That when the gospel was preached, this truth came and it seized our very hearts and minds and souls. It came in and conquered and possessed us. It laid hold of us, or it arrested us. It stopped us in our tracks. Every true believer knows this is true. I want you to listen. The Apostle Paul himself, as I've read in my text for this morning, says that if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said I was arrested by Christ. Think about it. Arrested by Christ. Now, listen to the first time we are introduced to Saul, later known as Paul the Apostle, of course, but listen to the first time we're introduced to Saul, this Saul of Tarsus. I want to read from Acts chapter 7, and this is what happens immediately after Stephen's preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to what it says in Acts chapter 7, verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now think of it. They laid their clothes, their coats, their outer garments, as they began to throw these rocks at Stephen to stone him to death so they could get a better throw, a better swing. They took their coats off and laid them down at the feet of one named Saul. And listen, chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." Do you see that? Here is Saul, this man named Saul, consenting unto the death, the stoning to death of one of God's beloved saints. And Saul was consenting unto his death, it says. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they all were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And here's the last thing I want you to hear. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Do you see the state of this man? He's heard the preaching of Stephen. He's heard the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't up to him to accept or reject. This man hated the truth of Jesus Christ, and indeed hated Christ, and indeed hated Christ's people, and indeed hated Christ's gospel with every fiber of his being, so much so that he was consenting unto the death of one of the Lord's saints, and he made havoc of the church, putting men and women into prison because they merely professed the name of this one Jesus of Nazareth. That's the first time we are introduced to this Saul. But I want you to read the next time we're introduced to this Saul of Tarsus. And Luke records it for us in Acts chapter 9. Listen, now listen. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter." Do you hear that? "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined out about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Oh, do you see? Saul was seized by Christ. Saul was arrested by Christ Jesus. Do you see that? It wasn't Saul heard the message of the gospel by Stephen, and Stephen said, Now it's up to you to accept or reject God's love as it is in Christ Jesus. No. Stephen merely preached the gospel. He spoke of concerning the truth of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was put to death because of it. Men hate this truth so much that they would, if they could, and if providence suffered them to do so, they would stone to death the very messengers who bring this message. This is the antagonistic enmity of the human heart against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, this very man named Saul of Tarsus was arrested on his way to make havoc, more havoc, of the church. Jesus Christ seized him. He arrested him, and he conquered him. You see, pseudo-Christianity never speaks this way, because pseudo-Christianity has never been apprehended of Christ Jesus. They've never been arrested by him and his gospel. They preach another Jesus. They preach one who has no arresting might and no arresting right. But I'm here to declare unto you that the Jesus that I'm preaching to you this morning has both the arresting might, that's the ability to arrest, and the arresting right, that is the right, the privilege, and the right to arrest you. It's in his sovereign hands to do so. Pseudo-Christianity preaches a false Christ, and they pervert. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 1. They pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pseudo-Christianity will say to you, well, but that Saul was a special case. He was an extraordinary situation. They say this very thing, but then they mock true believers. They mock someone like me, or they mock someone like the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. They mock us when we say that this case is true with all the saved. God arrests all his people. God in Christ Jesus, through the preaching of his gospel and the power of his Spirit, he arrests all that he saves. This is the case with all who are saved. And the reason we say this, while pseudo-Christianity says, well, that was a special case, they basically are teaching you and I and others as well that it's not so with everyone, though. Now, what happened to Saul of Tarsus, this arresting by Saul of Tarsus, this apprehending of Saul of Tarsus by Christ, God doesn't do that for everybody. But I'm here to declare unto you on the authority of God's word itself, is that this is the very thing that the Apostle Paul teaches is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, that every man or woman who's ever saved by Jesus Christ has been arrested by Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul himself said, the one who was formerly called Saul of Tarsus. Listen to what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor. You hear him? You hear him recounting what he used to be by nature? What he was before Jesus Christ arrested him on that road to Damascus? who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now notice, first of all, Paul is clearly stating that this grace of God himself, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, was exceeding abundant with faith and love. Paul is saying that faith in Christ and love for Christ came from Christ himself. It was a gift to Saul of Tarsus. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. Remember, he was on his way to Damascus to have believers put in prison. And yet Jesus Christ arrested him on that road. And he says, again, let me continue. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that word chief means I'm a prototype. I'm one of the prime examples of how God does this saving. Saul of Tarsus himself, this man that God arrested right in the midst of his rebellion against him, God Almighty in Christ Jesus arrested this man. And he says, listen to verse 16, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. No, you're not going to see some light shine out of heaven. Granted, I'll give you that. No, you won't be riding on your horse or your donkey and be knocked off by some light out of heaven. But God Almighty will bring the preaching of his gospel to your heart, mind, and soul. If he set himself to arrest you, he will bring the preaching of his gospel to your heart, mind, and soul through the Spirit of God in such a way that it will arrest your heart and mind and soul and will draw it in faith and love toward the Lord Jesus Christ. A special case. This Saul of Tarsus was a special case. You better believe he was a special case. And every single individual that God Almighty in his sovereign saving mercy saves, every one of us is a special case. You better believe that. God sends the gospel of his Son, and God sends it in the power of his Spirit, and it will arrest everyone that God in eternity decreed for it to arrest. Now, some proud rebel might say, well, it'll never arrest me. Let me tell you, listen to me. If God Almighty set his love on you in Christ before the foundation of the world, God Almighty in time will send his gospel to you, maybe even this message this morning. God Almighty will send his message to you, the message, the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will arrest your soul. It'll conquer your soul. It'll break down the citadel of your rebellion against him and will bow you into the dust before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, I might add this, you may be right. Maybe that gospel hasn't arrested you, but that's God's ordained way as well. God has compassion on whom he will have compassion. And listen, Romans chapter 9, and whom he will, whom God will, he hardeneth. You see, to every proud rebel, I say this. If Christ has decreed your arrest, hear me now, if Christ has decreed your arrest, arrested you shall be. You can mark those words down. That is the gospel truth. Paul says, if that I may arrest or lay hold of, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended. And notice Paul puts it in the present tense. Christ continually apprehends his people. He is continually arresting us and bringing us to bow before him in willing submission. So again, I say to every proud rebel, if Christ has decreed your arrest, arrested you shall be. If Christ decreed to harden you and leave you to yourself, hardened and left to yourself, you will be. Do not think that you have the God of Scripture. Do not think that you have the God of heaven and earth over a barrel. It's not up to you to accept or reject. By nature, you and I reject this. We're at enmity against it. Yet God Almighty, in His free, reigning, sovereign grace, conquers those He set His love on in eternity. Do not suppose that you have Jesus Christ over a barrel. Oh no. Oh no. We are all at the disposal of Jesus Christ. We are all at His disposal for Him to do with us as He will. You see, it is the will of God that is supreme. It is the purpose of God in Christ Jesus, that eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ, the apostle says in the book of Ephesians, that eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. We're all at His disposal, and He will do with each and every one of us as He will. You and I, you and I'm not above you. You and I are in His sovereign hands to do with as He sovereignly wills. May it be. Oh, I pray God, may it be that Christ has purposed this very day to arrest you, you who hear my voice, exactly where you are.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.